The Amazon case in Waithaka, the drivers delivered goods on the last mile of their interstate journey. Now, note that the goods in the Amazon case, they crossed state lines and they stopped at warehouses. In this case, we have drivers, Postmates drivers deliver goods as well as food. Clearly, these goods and food travel in interstate commerce. They may stop at restaurants or stores, just the way the Amazon packages stop at warehouses.
Miss Listener, the Amazon delivery, you will conclude a unitary transaction. In other words, a customer orders from Amazon, the goods are shipped, they are brought from wherever they are located into Massachusetts, deposited there, then picked up for the final leg of the delivery journey by what we've called the last mile driver. And we said that that's part of being engaged in commerce. But those are unitary transactions. It's all one transaction. The goods are ordered from Amazon, shipped by Amazon, delivered to the customer who ordered them. So you want us to extend that principle to cover goods that have traveled in interstate commerce, reached their initial destination, that is, reached the person who had ordered them, and then at some indeterminate future time are picked up by someone else for delivery to someone who had no connection with the original order.
So,
Do I understand that correctly?
Judge Selya, your assumption about the facts of the Amazon case are incorrect. So, in Amazon, there's no discussion. You made some assumptions here that are simply not in the record in Amazon and are not in the decision. In Amazon,
I think I have accurately described the Amazon operation. Fact of the matter is, you want us to extend the Waitaka principle to separate transactions. Goods are ordered, shipped, stop at reach the party who ordered them, and then move on when they are subsequently purchased by a third party. That's what you want us to do, and I don't understand what the limiting principle would be
So,
to your construct.
Your Honor, if I can answer your question, please. In the Amazon case, you are assuming that the customer, say a customer in Massachusetts, orders a good that was manufactured in Texas. Your assumption is that that good is then shipped to a Massachusetts warehouse and then goes on to the customer, and it was all part of one continuous journey. That is simply not the case. What happens is Amazon has warehouses in Massachusetts. It obtains goods from around the country. They stay in that warehouse until a customer in Massachusetts orders it from that warehouse. So, in other words, a customer in Massachusetts didn't, the goods are transported to the warehouse before anyone orders them. So now the assumption that Your Honor is making here is that under Waithaka, there has to be a continuous journey, meaning that the same corporation, the same entity needs to be engaged in the full interstate transportation of that item. And Waithaka said, actually, did not say that. Specifically, this court in Waithaka said, and I'm quoting on page, let's see, 23 of the decision, "To be clear, we do not hold that a class of workers must be employed by an interstate transportation business or a business of a certain geographic scope to fall within the Section 1 exemption." In other words, the Waithaka decision did not turn on the fact that Amazon was the entity that was engaged in the full interstate journey of the goods. So even if you have a separate company that is engaged in the final mile, that the fact that the good traveled interstate and even may have temporarily stopped somewhere like a restaurant or a warehouse, that doesn't interfere with the journey. And that also flows from the Supreme Court's decision in the Walling case, which was ignored by the court below. Did we lose Judge Saliba?
Judge Saliba? We're on the phone.
Ms. Lute, okay, Judge Selya, you're back.
Should I repeat what I just said? Please do. Okay, thank you. Okay, so Judge Selya, I'm not sure if we lost him again. I don't see him.
No, we haven't lost him.
Okay, I'm sorry. You can hear me, Judge Selya?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So what I was just explaining was that in the Wythaka case, this court said, to be clear, we do not hold a class of workers must be employed by an interstate transportation business or a business of a certain geographic scope to fall within the Section 1 exemption. So in other words, in Wythaka, this court did not rely on the fact that Amazon was the entity responsible for the entire interstate journey.
So you 5 minutes?
So you often have different entities responsible for different portions.
You and I apparently read the Amazon case differently, but the question that I asked you is, in your interpretation, what's the limiting principle? Because as I read your brief, all right, it seems to me that goods can be shipped from interstate by anyone. Let's say a can of soda, all right, reside in a convenience store for a year, 18 months, then be picked up by a driver, and that's still interstate commerce in your interpretation. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, it's no different from a computer residing at an Amazon warehouse. Excuse me.
Yes. You're not going to convince me that it's no different than Amazon. But what you could convince me of is what's the limiting principle? Is there any limit to that? If the goods sit in a Massachusetts retail outlet for 10 years or 20 years, are they still in interstate commerce when they're picked up?
So, Your Honor, again, that could happen with Amazon packages. In the Walling case,
I'm interested in what the limit. Are you telling me there's no limiting principle?
Well, I mean, there could be a limiting principle, but I don't know whether the court needs to reach that in this case. I don't think chips and sodas sit very long in restaurants. They're clearly intended for the customer, not for the restaurant. And again, the Walling versus Jacksonville paper case by the Supreme Court held that the entire movement of goods until their interstate journey is ended does not occur until they reach the customers for whom they are intended. So the Supreme Court has already recognized that goods may stop along the way during their interstate journey, but the question is, who are they intended for? Clearly, chips and soda are intended for people to consume, not for restaurants just to keep forever. There's an interstate journey that does not end until it reaches the person who consumes it. So I also just want to note that the court below...
I'm struggling to understand your notion of this. So if I give my grandson a $10 bill and ask him to go down to the local sporting goods store and pick up a baseball that was manufactured and shipped from Kentucky, then he's working in interstate commerce?
Well, I don't know if your grandson would be working.
I'm paying him $10 to do it. Of course he's working.
Is that a contract of employment? Well, also, he's not a transportation worker.
I thought anyone who transports goods is a transportation worker. Anyone who transports goods for money, what's the definition of transportation worker?
Well, one thing the court could look at is, for example, the Eighth Circuit has used in the Lenz case, a lot of courts look to the Lenz factors, where there are a number of factors that you look at to consider. One of the factors is, how often are you actually doing the work of transporting? Your grandson might have just done that one errand for you versus these drivers. This is what they do every day, is they are driving goods. And then also, if you look at other cases, like, for instance, the Saxon case by the Supreme Court, and also Judge Young's decision in the Fraga case, which is also before this court now and another for another panel, you don't even have to be a driver. You don't have to be someone who's doing the transportation itself if the work you're doing is closely associated with the transportation. But here you have drivers. So clearly they are connected with the transportation because that's what they're doing. If I could note something about the court's decision below, the error that Judge Stearns made in the Postmates case was that, and it turns on this issue that we've been talking about, he cited not the First Circuit in Wythaka. He cited the Ninth Circuit in the Rittman versus Amazon case. This is on page 5 of his decision, where he says the packages are not held at warehouses for later sales to local retailers. They are simply part of a process by which a delivery provider transfers the packages to a different vehicle for the last mile of the package's interstate journeys.
Go ahead and finish your sentence, please.
Thank you. The court below erred because Rittman did not contain the statement that this court included in Wythaka, that it doesn't matter whether the company itself is engaged in the full interstate journey. In Wythaka, this court said that it doesn't matter if different companies.
Thank you, counsel. But I think there are various interpretations of that statement. You're doing a sort of negative pregnant argument. You have time reserved.
Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney Lisa Reardon. Please mute your audio and video. Attorney Evangelos, please unmute your audio and video and proceed with your argument.
May it please the court. Sienna Evangelos on behalf of Postmates. The district court's decision below is consistent with the rulings of this court and appellate courts and district courts across the country. There is no confusion. Plaintiff's argument here, for which there is no limiting principle, contradicts an avalanche of authority and the court's uniform consensus on the scope of Section 1 with respect to the class of workers at issue in this case and in the next case. Plaintiffs are asking this court, remarkably, to create a direct conflict not only with its own precedent, but also with the decision of the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court just 3 months ago, as well as the decisions of the 7th, 9th, and 11th circuits. And I just, to put a finer point on that, what plaintiffs are asking this court to do is to say that the FAA does not apply to this class of workers in federal courts within the Commonwealth, but we know from the Archer decision that it does apply to the same class of workers in state courts. That is a really remarkable assertion, and it's wrong, and I would ask the court respectfully to affirm the decision of the trial court compelling arbitration. And I would like to...
Counsel, so Judge Selya, as usual, gets to the heart of the matter about whether there is any limiting principle once one adopts plaintiff's argument. Your sister said, well, the other provisions having to do with class of workers, transportation workers, are a limitation. But it doesn't seem to me that that quite carries the bag here. Almost everything nowadays travels through interstate commerce. So I was trying to think of, under plaintiff's theory, is there an instance, and I guess it would be, say, a organic farm that hires somebody to transport their goods to the local supermarket, saying grown in whatever state. But other than that, and a few other homegrown industry type things, it would seem that the scope of plaintiff's argument would apply to almost all goods everywhere. Am I wrong in thinking of it in these terms?
No, Judge Lynch, you're not wrong. You're exactly right. And Judge Selya was exactly right. And that's what Judge Barrett in Wallace said as well. There is no limiting principle here. And I do want to turn to the Wythaka decision, because plaintiff's entire argument seems to hinge on that decision, which, of course, every single court has distinguished with respect to the class of workers at issue here. The class of workers at issue here are local delivery drivers. They are no different from a local pizza delivery driver. Every single court has found that last mile delivery in the Amazon cases is worlds away from what we have here. And not a single court has adopted plaintiff's view. I think because it offers no limiting principle and because it is clearly distinguishable. In the last mile cases, and this now I will quote from the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court in Archer, the court explained in those cases, quote, from the moment the goods, quote, entered the flow of interstate commerce, the goods were always destined for the customers to whom the last mile drivers made deliveries. By contrast, at the moment the goods at issue here, and that involved Grubhub, this is the same class of workers here, quote, by the moment the goods at issue here entered the flow of interstate commerce, the destination was not the address of the Grubhub, or in this case, Postmates customer ordering the takeout food or convenience items for delivery, but rather the local restaurants and convenience stores that ordered them. Any subsequent journey taken by the goods in the hands of the drivers as part of the delivery was not part of the ongoing and continuous interstate transmission of those goods. So going back to Judge Selya's point earlier, in the Amazon cases, we had a unitary transaction, and it didn't turn on the fact that it was one company. Going back to the passage that Ms. Liss Reardon kept quoting, on page 23, it didn't turn on that. What it did turn on was the nature of the delivery and the nature of the business. And the court went on in the next sentence, this court in Wythaka went on to say the nature of the business does matter. And there, what Amazon was alleged to be doing was coordinating that entire interstate trip. And this is, I would like to address the Walling case, because I think Walling actually proves our point. We think that it proves the point here. There were two different types of goods at issue in Walling. Some goods came from out of state and were held at the warehouse for some later independent transaction or purchase. Those were not in interstate commerce because there were separate transactions. However, when goods were brought into state with the ultimate in-state customer in mind, not the warehouse, but the purchaser, then those goods were found to be traveling in interstate commerce. So again, it's the same principle, and it's the principle that this court in Cunningham versus Lyft articulated. It's exactly the same where if someone takes a ride using the Lyft app from the airport to go to their home, that's an independent local transaction. It is not part of the larger interstate trip that is coordinated by, say, a railroad in the United States versus Yellow Cab case. So that's why it is clear at this point. There is no confusion. There is a uniform consensus among courts that there is a very different type of interstate commerce at issue that's alleged under the Amazon cases in Wythaka and Rittman. And Rittman actually called out in particular Postmates and Grubhub and local delivery and said that's different. The Seventh Circuit, Judge Barrett, I think, articulated the test very clearly that it has to be the central part of the job description. Here, the workers are not moving goods in interstate commerce across state lines. We're talking about 2 to 3 mile deliveries locally that have nothing to do with an interstate trip. So this is very different from situations where a good is part of a continuous interstate journey, where it is purchased from out of state for that in-state consumer. And so that's the limiting principle.
May I I understand your argument to be suggesting to us not only that we distinguish our circuit precedent in Osaka, but that we adopt some of the reasoning that Judge Barrett used in the Seventh Circuit in drawing those distinctions.
Your Honor, I think that Judge Barrett's reasoning is actually consistent with your opinion in Cunningham versus Lyft.
Well, I do too, but we are now being asked to decide a question of the limits of a prior decision of our court in order to decide this case. And I thought I heard you saying we should take some guidance in doing that, particularly from the Seventh Circuit, but also from the Supreme Judicial Court.
Absolutely, Your Honor. We think that both of those decisions are correct, and they both distinguish the Wythaka decision and the Rittman decision, and they're completely consistent. They reach the same result for the same reasons, and we do believe that this court should follow the reasoning in both of those decisions. I think it is the best interpretation of Section 1, and again, Section 1 is a narrow exemption, as this court mentioned recently in Cunningham. It was intended to reach only classes of workers who were engaged in interstate commerce in the same way as railroad workers and seamen, who, of course, an indelible part of their job description was moving goods in the channels of interstate commerce along long distances. And those are the words of the Capriole decision from the Ninth Circuit. So these are all ways of saying the same exact thing, that the last mile cases are presenting a very different situation from what we have here. This is purely local delivery, divorced from any interstate transaction, not orchestrated as part of a continuous journey. And this is purely local, does not fall within Section 1. And if it did, as Judge Barrett said in Wallace, it would encompass everything, including Judge Selye's hypothetical of his grandson who he pays to go pick up a product locally at a store. That's exactly what the Postmates delivery drivers are doing here. It's exactly no different. So for all of those reasons, we believe that the court should affirm the decision of the district court. And I would be happy to answer any additional questions. I see that my time is coming close to an end.
I have no further questions. Let me ask my colleagues.
I'm content.
No.
I don't have any questions at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Attorney Evangelist, please mute your audio and video. Attorney Liss-Riordan, you have 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you. Judge Lynch, you asked the question before about where the line would be drawn, because so much, just about everything today is in interstate commerce, although you pulled out the example of the organic farm and the local delivery to a local store purchased by a local resident. I think that would not be interstate commerce. But the mere fact that our economy is now so much consists of interstate commerce, so much more even than when Congress passed the FAA, isn't a reason to limit the statutory language or limit the scope of the exception.
No. That's a very good argument to make to Congress to change the language. The nature of the economy is quite different now. But under the case law, this has always been a narrow exception. And to say to us, well, the economy is different, it's no longer a narrow exception, is to suggest that these are the decisions for judges to make as opposed to Congress.
Your Honor, actually, I'm asking this court to look at the language Congress used, and you just because our economy is more interstate in nature now does not mean that interstate commerce means something different now than what it meant when Congress passed this. I also just want to note that my sister made this argument about the Walling case, that there was a distinction between goods that were ordered with the intent in advance of going to a particular customer versus those who were not. In this court's decision in Wythaka, no such distinction was made. Amazon packages get ordered and then shipped to a warehouse temporarily before they get to the customer, but they also get shipped to warehouses and can sit there
okay.
for 18 months before they get purchased.
That is the argument you've made several times to Judge Celia. You're now on rebuttal. Is there anything else?
Yes, there is, Your Honor. So I just want to note briefly, in the Wallace case by Judge Barrett, there's a mention of Wythaka, but if you read the decision, there is no distinction from Wythaka. There is no grappling with it. It seems to indicate, the Wallace decision seems to indicate that the court came out as it did because the drivers actually had to cross state lines themselves. If you look at page 802 of the decision, the court says, to fall within the exemption, the workers must be connected not simply to the goods, but to the act of moving those goods across state or national borders. That's not the law in the First Circuit. Under Wythaka, the court clearly held that the drivers themselves do not need to be crossing the state lines.
I don't think Judge Barrett's language suggests the drivers have to cross state lines. They have to be engaged in interstate commerce, which means they have to be connected to the crossing, not that they cross themselves.
If you read the decision and the language that I just pointed out, it really seems to suggest they need to be crossing state lines, which is not the law.
It doesn't suggest that to me, Ms. Ridden, and I don't think it does to an objective observer.
I would urge the court to look at that again, but if I could just comment quickly on the Cunningham case, which was mentioned during defense counsel's argument. It's a completely different situation there. This court relied on the yellow cab case, which is just not applicable to food and good delivery. And the question there before this court was whether the passengers were in interstate commerce, and the court concluded that they were not. There is no difference between the goods that Postmates drivers deliver and the goods that Amazon drivers deliver. There's just no meaningful distinction.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. That concludes argument in this case.